Thoughts on Mark. Mark chapter 7, verses 36 and 37. The deaf mute, the curing of that man. Part 4, the final, the conclusion, the last discourse on this episode. Now, it's a strange couple of verses. It's a strange conclusion. It's a tricky one, too. Let's have a look at it. Let me just read the words to you. Jesus has cured this deaf mute. At this, the man's ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak plainly. It's an illustration of the gospel. It's a vindication of Christ. It shows the power, the compassion, the mercy, the love of Christ for sinners, the power of Christ to save sinners. Of course, the miracle actually happened here, the physical miracle. But now it's the conclusion. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. But the more he did so, the more they kept talking about it. People were overwhelmed with amazement. "He's done everything well," they said. "He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Mark chapter 7, 36 to 37. Now, what are we going to make of this conclusion? Well, it is a very odd conclusion, isn't it? It's a peculiar couple of verses. It's a tricky couple of verses to expound and explain, isn't it? I mean, I can see what it means, I can understand that, but the application of it. Jesus issued a clear, direct, unmistakable commandment. Don't talk about it. Don't tell anyone about it. That's what he says in verse 36. Jesus commanded them not to tell anyone. Now, this in itself is noteworthy, because sometimes he says that, another time, though, he might tell them to go home and tell their family or whatever, or show themselves to the priests or whatever. So there's no two the same. But nevertheless, here is a direct command. Don't talk about it. And I can see that he stressed it. And he was repeated about it. He repeated it. I see that because in verse 36, the more he did so, he kept saying it. He kept stressing it. Look, I mean this. Don't talk about it. He stressed it to them. But the response is, the more he did so, the more he underlined it, the more they kept talking about it. Now, what can we say about this? Well, let me say what I see straight on the surface here. This is rank disobedience. Here is the command of Christ. In this instance, keep quiet. Rank disobedience. But I have to say this, I also see how understandable it all is. This man has been cured. His friends have seen him cured. It's wonderful to them. They're amazed. I can understand it. You used to be the same, wouldn't you? I'm sure you would. They want to talk about it. But the more he told them not to, the more they kept talking about it. And, of course, the people were overwhelmed with amazement. So I can understand here how an application could be made. The more precious we find Christ, the more wonderful the salvation we've experienced, the more personal our understanding and experience of Christ, our acquaintance with Christ, our knowing Christ, our calling upon Christ, the more we shall want to tell others. The more we want others to taste and see, oh, taste and see how gracious the Lord is. So I can understand it completely, but I have to come back to this, that this is disobedience. I sing, and you do, I have no doubt. 'Tis mine to obey. 'Tis his to command. 'Tis mine to obey. John 2:5, Mary, whatever he says to you, do it. John 13:17, blessed are they if you know what's required, if you do it, you see. This is a rebuke to me. On both fronts, do I obey Christ as I ought to? And am I as eager as these people to speak of Christ? Have I felt him and known him, enjoyed him, the way that they have felt the power of his miracle here? There's a negative here and a positive. I must come down on the obedience, though. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than, in this instance, let me say it, evangelism. Just because you're so active for Christ, how that will overcome disobedience. No, obedience must be top of the list. It must govern everything. I do not know the consequence of this. I know in other places sometimes it means that Jesus couldn't work. And not all these people who are amazed now are truly converted. Don't you assume that for one moment. Yes, they're overwhelmed with astonishment, and it's seemingly great and good, but all that glisters is not gold. And I come back to this point. I must be a man of obedience. Nevertheless, we have to face this fact. Let's just come to the point. Leaving the episode as it stands, the people were astonished at this time. They were amazed about it. How do you stand? Aren't you amazed at Christ? Aren't you amazed at his teaching? Aren't you amazed at his power, of his compassion, of his love for sinners, of his dying for sinners, his willingness to go to the cross for sinners? Aren't you amazed by what thinking of Christ, said John Newton in his hymn, is the test. Now, what do you think of Christ? And is this gospel? You see, it's an amazing gospel. My friend, I want to draw this from this episode. Spiritually blind, deaf, dumb, whatever description you like. Previous hymn in the previous discourse, the hymn, Once I Was Blind, we had it in the previous discourse. If you come to Christ, you too can be astonished out of your wits to find what he can do. No preacher can tell you. No hymn writer can explain it. Oh, taste and see. You know, you can ask me what a tomato tastes like or an apple. You have to try it yourself and see. What's ice cream? What does it taste like? Well, you can only find out by trying a spoonful. Now, there's a silly illustration, but if you ask this blind, this deaf and mute man and say, what did you do? Well, he said he did everything well. He's an amazing man. What think ye of Christ, my friend? Will you trust him? That's the question. Not just what you think of him. Will you take him to be your own? Will you call upon him? And then you can say, once I was blind, once I was dead, but now. May God astonish us all with the conversion of many sinners. Amen.